Howdy, Uncle Bill. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing killer. How are you?
We're late by a couple of days doing this goddamn show.
I blame you. You piece of trash.
Why would you blame me? Explain yourself.
It's your fault. That's why.
How's it my fault?
Because you didn't make this a suitable environment for me to want to come back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You want me to make it more of a suitable environment and pee all over your head right now? Drizzle some urine right over your little spiked up bullshit hair.
No! I'm sick of you talking bad about me, too.
I'm sick of you coming in here with khaki pants on.
I have to. This is my work outfit.
Is it?
I have to wear these khaki
pants.
What
happened to the fucking coveralls and shit you were wearing?
The coveralls had to go when I quit my job as a professional backer spitter.
No. Uncle Bill, here's the thing. And people might not believe this, but it's hilarious. Uncle Bill likes to be professional. He likes to be a professional janitor. So he goes to work with his khaki pants and his polo, cleaning up, mopping shit, and puke all day.
Right. I wear a tuxedo in there when I'm cleaning up everything.
Yeah, you like to dress up like Bruce Campbell taking photo ops.
Look at me. $80, shut up.
You know, oh, God. We got conventions. You know, there's a convention this weekend while we're doing this, and there's a convention next weekend. And, you know we talk about this shit a lot on here, but I don't want, and the thing is, it doesn't matter how much we bitch about it,
no.
Does it? It really doesn't.
No.
It doesn't matter how much you people bitch about it, these photos. I've never gave a fuck about photo ops. And there's a lot of people that claim that they don't give a fuck about them, but yet they still fucking pay for them. The only way this shit's going to end is when people just are like, no, I'm not doing that. That's the only way.
That doesn't appear to be ever happening either, though, I've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I wouldn't even give a fuck about going and getting anybody from Alien. I wouldn't even care about even meeting any of them motherfuckers. Who in the fuck is going to pay $117 for a group photo with all them fuckers in it? Really?
Oh, shit, there's a crawl on my face. That's face hugging on me. That'd be so cute if they got
one. We saw it. Did you see that fucking photo I put up of
the Boondock Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. It looked completely fucking horrible.
Can you believe somebody actually paid money for that shit?
How much did they pay for that?
Fuck,
you know?
I don't know.
I bet it was around 60 bucks. Yeah. No, I mean, as long as there's people that are obsessive and, like, nerdy, there'll be money to be wasted on shit like that. There's just no getting around it.
I mean, I was telling some people this, and, like, it makes me feel kind of bad saying this, but it's true. People that go to conventions are fucking, they don't have any concept of money at all. Like, they'll spend money on any goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I know of people that go to shows and spend, you know, $400 or $500. And I know there's people that probably spend more than that on autographs.
Right.
You know. Whatever.
It'll never end.
You
though.
Can easily.
I do wish, though, sincerely, that all the people that do those photo ops would die.
Yeah.
I do. I really do. Like, never before has there been anybody that more exploited horror fans or just fans of movies and stuff in general more than those
ads. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, like, who in particular is to blame for this. It's some of the agents, which I think it's a little bit of everybody, honestly. Because everybody that makes money off
everybody always tries to act like it's not them, though. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, oh, God, it's not me. It's the fucking promoter. And the promoter's like, it's not me. It's the agent.
The
agent's
the
like, it's not the agent. It's celebrities. It's like, it has to be somebody. Like, nobody, it can't be everybody's just completely blameless and all this.
Yeah. I mean, I love conventions and I love going and everything. But, like, I don't know about you, but, man, my favorite show still is probably that first one we ever went to.
Yeah, because we didn't know any better then. Like, we didn't know it was a whole big fucking crock of shit.
Wait, what? Yeah, but the thing is, it really wasn't as much then. Like,
no.
It was one of those deals where
it wasn't then at all.
Holy shit, like, it was $5 most of, and some of the stuff was free. Like, I know Tom Savini signed stuff for free. Reggie Bannister signed stuff for free. And they had, like, a lot more stuff that they were just giving away and shit. And you had the Anchor Bay table where they were giving DVDs away. And you actually felt like you were getting something for your money, you know?
Yeah.
So,
It's amazing how many people weren't charging then. There's not a single person at these shows now that didn't charge. Yeah.
It's getting out of control, man. The thing is that the economy's not actually that good either. I mean, that's the thing.
That's the thing that's so confusing to me. And I guess it's the whole, like, once people get anxious and kind of hopeless that they want to escape and they want to spend money on things that help them escape, that's why those conventions are doing so well now. But nobody really has a lot of money or a pot to piss in or anything like that right now, but yet these shows are still doing better than ever.
Yeah.
Which has always kind of baffled me, especially with gas is like $4 now.
Yeah.
And people are traveling into all these shows. I mean,
there's some of these guys too, like, you know, if they were like $10 or something, I would be like, hell, I'm just going to fucking get you autographed because you're fucking cheaper.
Right.
But no, they're not. Like, even the, okay, for instance, like the Whorehound's got the Night of the Living Dead guys coming in, some of them, you know, Russ Striner, John Russo, Doodly Doo, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
$20 a piece, of course. Which they set with a thumb up their ass the whole fucking weekend. We've seen them at Scarefest the last 2 or 3 years, whatever. Wouldn't it be better, more beneficial to them? Because at this point in the career, goddamn, you're old motherfuckers. Okay? You should be proud that anybody even knows who the hell you are. Be like, $10. I swear to God, I'd go and get your fucking autographs.
If it was
$10, I'd go. That'd be $10 more, and I'd bring my own goddamn thing. That'd be $10 more you old fucks could have to get whatever you want, you know. Rather than sitting there looking dazed and confused with a thumb up your fucking ass.
They don't want to do that, though.
That's what I don't get. Like, okay, somebody's fucking... But let's be honest, man. We were excited about John Paul from Dawn of the Dead. Nobody fucking gave a shit. That was his first show.
Yeah.
That was his first fucking show. I mean, it's not like he didn't have anybody at all.
Right.
But we were thinking, wow, he's going to have a line, man. It's fucking, you know. And the the funny thing is, most of the people, like, that are there are in line for, like, shit I don't even give a fuck about. Like, fucking Walking Dead shit and whatever, you know.
Everybody's hanging off Norman Reedus' cock.
Oh, God, it's fucking Norman Reedus.
Look at me.
But I just, more and more, each of these shows, like, it's just changing, and it's not changing for the better.
It's just money, man. That's the problem. Like, back when we started doing these shows, started doing conventions, there was not the excessive amount of, like, money being spent. There's a lot of money being spent on them, but there wasn't as many people at these shows, and especially it wasn't as concentrated in these different areas as it is now, too. But once everybody found out they could make a buck doing this, it just fucked, like everything else, it fucked everything up for everybody. Like, they just started to, like, get greedy and charge for every single thing, and then...
Well, if you go back to, it was just last year when the when the photo op bullshit was starting, and I believe I said it, I was like, this is bad, you know, because I know how these celebrities are. Or I feel bad even fucking calling them celebrities.
They're not celebrities.
They're, I don't know, cult movie people, say that. And I was like, fuck, I know how these fucking, and sure enough, goddamn fucking Ken Foree, $30 photo op now.
Really? I didn't know that. I got to scratch my head a little bit to that one.
Yeah, I mean, if it gets to the point where, okay, you're traveling, like us, for instance, we're traveling like 5 hours to Indianapolis, okay? You're spending, average out to be probably about, what, $250, $275 just on the hotel. You know, $100 on the gas.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's before. And we're the case where we don't even, you know, they let us in. We don't even pay for the, but the tickets are, you know, whatever. I don't even know what the tickets are.
I'm not sure either.
So you're spending fucking, you know, probably at least $400, $500 before you even fucking get into the show, right? And then some fucking motherfucker, you pay and, okay, you're excited and you want to meet, you know, some motherfucker is like, okay, and I'm not saying I don't even know. Like, I think Whorehound is allowing the photos of people aside from Elvira's fucking ass. Fuck her. But just saying in general, like, okay, some of these shows, no fucking photo. That's fucking get you ticket. It's another fucking $30 or $40.
I'm Linda Blair. Fuck you.
I just think that's bullshit, man. What do the fans get, really, out of... I'm confused. That's my point. I mean, obviously these people are still paying this money.
I guess at this point, maybe it means more to people than it does to us. I mean, maybe that's what it is. What it boils down to is it just means, like, because a lot of them haven't seen the way it works as much as we have. We're kind of like jaded.
Evidently not. I mean, maybe it is... You know, these people's one show a year or something, and maybe I can understand that, but I don't think so.
It's very.
I think a lot of these people go to multiple shows.
Yeah, it's very disheartening for me, to be honest, to go to conventions anymore. Like, I don't really even enjoy doing it that much anymore, because every time I go there, something really negative ends up usually happening with somebody. Or, like, I try really hard nowadays, by the way, not to meet people that I admire because of, like, experiences that I've had with pseudo-celebrities, we'll call them that.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, man, like, Nathan of the Whorehound is one of those guys where I can guarantee you he wants everybody to have fun and wants everybody to, you know, because you've seen him at shows. He acts like a fucking nervous wreck a lot of the times, worried something's going to happen. But I think ultimately, like, you know, if it was up to me, if I was doing a show, you know, and... I would commend somebody on just completely banning photo ops entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And if it even gets to the point where, hey, you're bringing in Jamie Lee Curtis, make it $100, you get her autograph and her fucking photo. Do it at the same time. I know it's probably going to take forever, but, you know. I mean,
been done before.
Yeah. I just think that you've got to just... You got to stop this shit. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you at some point, you just got to be like, "Hey, enough's enough, man."
Well, it's weird though how easy all this stuff changes just based on whatever is acceptable. Because I remember you talking about Kim Forey's photo op being $30 now, whatever. I remember I met him at a show. This is probably 2005, 2006, something like that. And I had not gotten his picture when we met him at Horror Find in 2004, I guess.
Yeah.
So I just walked up to him and I was like, "Hey, I met you at such and such. Do you care if I get like a picture with you? Because I don't have a picture, you know, from the last time." I was like, and I explained to him I'd paid for his autograph and all that stuff before. And he was like, "Yeah, that's fine." So at that time, that was the acceptable thing to do, because if you got an autograph with somebody, then it was expected that you get a photograph with them. And now it's like, no, $30 on the whole night, good shit. I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And that's because people let that happen. Like, that became the norm. That became the standard thing. Now,
well, that's what I was saying before with as far as the photo op thing. I mean, whenever that started, I knew it was bad. Because I was like, "Ah, fuck, here we go," you know. But, hey, it is what it is. I think, you know, of all of the shows, Whorehound, at least they have said, like, they, you know, aside from the group photos and stuff, everybody supposedly is going to be taking photos for free at their booth. So we'll just have to wait and see. We'll report on that.
Yeah, by the way, we say all this stuff, and then we're like going around. We got a booth there, and we talk all kinds of shit. We're going to be there.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, in general, conventions. Like, yeah. I think the one that was, and I like, you know, we're both close friends with Jeff, but the one that they did last year at Scarefest was the one where I was like, "This is fucking bullshit," you know. Because I heard from a few people that they were like, no photo ops, no, none at the table. Then there was like underhanded bullshit. Okay, go ahead and you can take a photo with me. It'll be $40 or something.
Yeah. But, how about I take a photo with you, then fucking run?
Yeah,
how'd you like that?
Yeah, it'd be funny. God. Never book Ernie Hudson at a show, though. That's another piece of advice. But we do have a show. It's a couple days late.
It's 15 minutes of just talking about that.
Yeah. People are like, God damn shit. Because I know a lot of people don't even give. Honestly, like, if we didn't have shit, if we didn't have a booth doing these shows, though, I wouldn't fucking go to these shows. I swear I wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That's a shame to say that, but at this point, like, there's so much other shit going on that I would really not even bother doing it.
Yeah.
It'd have to be the Jamie Lee Curtis thing, it'd have to be a goddamn amazing event or something to get me to do it anymore.
I mean, the Jamie Lee Curtis thing we're going to, but yeah, if it's I'm probably never going to do another show unless we have the booth, there, because, like, we did one in March, and goddamn, man, we went through that dead pit money like a hot knife through butter that weekend. It was making me sick.
Yeah. Well, I just want to take this time to say anal.
On to lighter subjects.
Yeah, we should probably get started with the actual program, too.
Yeah, because we do have a show. We're going to be going through the Fall Horror Preview.
This is actually my favorite time of year. It's beginning right now, though. The beginning of September.
It is September. It's September 1st when we're doing this.
Leading into October. This is the time when I break out all the Misfit CDs and shit and start, like, watching a lot of horror films.
You know Michael Graves is going to be it.
He's going to be there, yeah.
And he's actually signing all of your Misfit shit for free.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
I'm serious, bro.
Well.
And I don't want people to think, like, seriously, like, Nathan is one of the coolest fucking guys. Like, I get along with him.
I get
along with all these people.
I don't think anybody thinks we're talking about Nathan or Horror House.
Yeah, I get along with Ken. I mean, Ken's been a close friend of ours for long, you know, for Fright Night.
Yeah.
I just think that some of the practices of these shows, it's bullshit.
The problem is not, in my opinion, really the shows themselves. The problem is, like, what's become the standard at these shows from a lot of these fucking celebrities and
but anyway
people. Anyway, ass.
I don't. So we actually give you all a little bit of feedback, though. We're doing this on a fucking Saturday. We normally do the shows on a Thursday night.
Right.
So this is a little weird, I gotta say.
It's odd.
It's off on our schedule, but we won't be doing a show next Friday, so I guess it kind of, like, won't make it as bad then. It won't seem like that long of a drought.
Right, because we're going to be at Horror Hound weekend.
We're going to be at Horror Hound.
Yeah, so you should come up there and buy some shit off of us.
Yeah.
And we can continue to also contribute to this greed machine that's taking over these goddamn conventions.
That's true.
Because if there's one thing that we are, it's giant fucking hipsters.
Have you noticed, though, at these, like, since they've started doing the photo ops, it's really cut into the dead pit profit at these shows. People aren't spending as much money on dead pit.
It's cut into the vendor's profit a lot of times, too.
So,
but anyway, we got Blu-ray reviews of Halloween 4 and 5, so that's something.
Yeah, we haven't done reviews in a while.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about, like, the fall preview, the movies and things coming out. We got that going on.
Yeah, and we have news.
And we're going to do that shit right now.
All right.
God damn it.
The new John
John Carter. That'd be shitty.
The new Don Coscarelli movie, John Dies at the End. The distribution rights have been acquired by Magnet Releasing,
which means it'll go straight to DVD or Blu-ray.
It'll be actually just like a VHS, which we're. I think we should do a video review of that. We're actually. Maybe do like a pseudo fake on the road review or something at some point. Because that movie was done by Magnet as well and debuted video on demand, which I think is the next big thing.
This must be a piece of shit, though.
But anyway, the film debuted at Sundance earlier this year is now being described as a work in progress screening as its subsequent screenings at South by Southwest with its official premiere due for the Midnight Madness section at the upcoming Toronto International Film Festival, which is actually debuting the new Rob Zombie film, too, Lords of Salem. We should go up to Toronto and watch those.
Yeah!
The Lords of Salem! Hey, you know something? A little funny story, though. We got a little clip on our YouTube page about the Lords of Salem song. You know, I put that up there.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll put stuff like that up there, and I thought it was kind of amusing on the show.
Right. Please tell me that Rob Zombie responded to that.
No, but it was, what was funnier is is there is actually a song called The Lords of Salem that he did already.
And it probably sounds exactly like that.
And the thing is, like, okay, I was talking to Crater, and he was the one who told me this first. And he was like, you know there's already a Lords of Salem song.
Buddy.
I was like, well, I bet it probably sounds similar. And he was like, no, it don't sound nothing like. And I was listening to it. I swear to God, it almost sounds exactly like what we were singing.
I'm sure
like,
it
I
does.
Think it was something like, God hate the Lord of Salem, or something.
Yeah. No, it sounds completely different. That's not anything like it.
That's what's so funny is he was like arguing, oh, it sounds completely different. And I was like, oh, it sounds pretty much
there's
the
nothing
same,
that man. Rob Zombie's ever done that sounds completely different at all. Like, you can guess by the name of the title what it's going to sound like.
But anyway, Paul Giamatti in the film plays Arnie, a shadowy figure investigating a street drug known as Soethol, baby, promising an out-of-body experience with each hit. Soy sauce causes users to drift across time and dimensions, but some who come back are no longer human. Suddenly, a silent, otherworldly invasion is underway, and mankind needs a hero. What it gets instead is John and Dave, played by Mayes and Williamson, a pair of college dropouts who can barely hold down jobs. Can these two stop the ongoing horror in time to save humanity? They said, no, no, it can't. No. So what's the point in watching a movie then?
Fuck that movie.
They ain't gonna do shit.
No, that movie, if it went to Magnet, there has to be something wrong with it, man. Like, those movies that Magnet get are generally not very good.
Man, I don't know. I mean, where else is it going to go? Would you say it was going to get in a theater or something? Ain't no fucking way.
Well, it's got Paul Giamatti in it. I mean, doesn't that mean anything?
No, he's in Lady in the Water.
Yeah, that's true. So, something else that doesn't mean anything. Eli Ross Thanksgiving says, out promoting his new Las Vegas attraction, the Goratorium, Eli Ross...
Eli,
oh God!
You calling us fucking hipsters earlier, Eli Roth?
I didn't say hipsters; I said hypocrites. Uh-oh. I said we're hypocrites.
Well, Eli Roth—he's not a hypocrite; he's a fucking hipster.
He is a hipster.
Goddamn! Oh God! Eli Roth is the perfect example of, like, you know those like the people that were fans of, like, the Saw movies. That were, like, kind of, like, pretending to be horror fans and shit. And just talking about, oh, have you seen Saw 2?
Bro. Fucking brutal.
He's full of shit. I mean, he's always doing something. Oh, we're going to call it the Goratorium, man. It's going to be brutal.
Hey, bro. The Goratorium's on, dude. Oh, God.
He's so fucking hilarious.
But... he said he dropped an update on the behind the scenes regarding the feature film version of the Grindhouse trailer Thanksgiving. It's been 5 years since the preview, of course, and Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez double feature. Fans have endured 5 years of rumors surrounding a Thanksgiving feature length film, but according to Roth, it's finally going to happen.
Wow!
Kill him. He says, I'm working with the clown writers on it. Clown is another project Roth is shepherding for writers John Watts and Christopher Ford. The film concerns a man who dresses up as a party clown one day and finds he cannot remove the costume and it soon becomes a permanent fixture. Fuck.
Oh, yay.
Roth went on to add that there's a treatment for Thanksgiving, and he says, we finally cracked the story and figured out how to make it really, really scary. Before John starts shooting Clown, he's got a window. We'll have a draft of the script soon. So apparently he's got a window of time that he can do that in. Oh, God.
Yay.
Currently he's in post-production on Hemlock Grove.
Yeah, I think that's a Netflix show that he's doing.
I'm going take a moment to...
That's so fucking killer.
I'm going to take a moment to say that that Thanksgiving movie that ever gets made will never make it to theaters.
I think Eli Roth is kind of like the new John Gulager, because none of his shit's going to ever be out in the theater again.
His time, you know how, like, John Cena's time is now? His time was then.
Yeah.
You can't see me. Yeah. My time was then.
We need to sing some Iron Maiden and say, your time has come! And gone, motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
So we need to take a break.
We should.
We've been at this, and we got some more news coming back on Evil Dead 4, and Nightmare on Elm Street Blu-ray set, and all kinds of other shit. Here on DeadPod.com.
must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, to drink my wine. Come and take my herb. None will level on the mind. Nobody of it is worth.
Hello, this is Michael Felscher of Red Shirt Pictures, and you're listening to Dead Tit Radio.
One step beyond.
Hey, Uncle Bill!
Yeah!
How you doing?
I'm good.
You know Dead Tit fans out there? Not a lot of them know about the midweek obliteration.
I thought everybody knew. It's the hottest thing going today.
You can go on Facebook. Check it out on the Dead Tit Universe page. Brand new show almost every damn week. You can hear us bullshitting.
And in a historical first, there's a new member of Dead Tit. Jesco!
Hey, Jesco.
Hi.
You like joining in on the midweek obliteration every week? You like getting obliterated by two Eastern Kentuckians, don't you?
Lay it down with your sweet, sultry voice.
Obliterate all over my face.
You know, yeah, you know you have a lot of guys that masturbate your voice on a weekly basis now.
Oh, God, it's Jesco! Like, oh, it's Jesco!
She's a girl. She likes hormones. She's on Dad Pat. That's the perfect girl for me.
I'll just cream a little bit in my pants.
How's that make you feel? You're now like a hillbilly sexual icon.
A hillbilly sexual icon?
Yeah.
Oh, like shit. Goats and yeah. Sisters.
And you can hear all about it. Hey, I ask Jesco some of the nastiest shit known to man almost every week on the Midweek Obliteration, and she answers it, and she has respect for it, don't you?
What the fuck? She has respect for
it. I respect
this question. Yeah,
disgusting.
Yeah, telling her about what a blumpkin he is and all that.
Oh, good Lord.
She's going to try that out on Uncle Bill over there.
Ain't nobody touching me when I'm shitting. I don't give a damn what freezing is.
Even if I go in there and be like, hey.
I'll be like, get out. What are you doing?
She's like,
you crazy. Pull your neck out of the toilet. Give it to me. Oh, God.
Hear all that on the midweek.
Obliteration.
Yay.
Welcome back, Uncle Bill.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
You doing okay?
I'm good.
Well, I have news on Evil Dead 4.
Yeah.
Uncle Bill. Earlier this year, a company called Award Pictures believed it could move forward with a sequel without Sam Raimi and the original Evil Dead team being involved. This led to, of course, a lawsuit when Raimi's Renaissance Pictures sued Award Pictures over their plans for production, and which was to be called Evil Dead 4, Consequences.
That's a great name. Not really.
A judge has ordered a block on the sequel, however, since the lawsuit was filed in May. They said that Award Pictures failed to respond in court. Apparently, the company's financing fell through, and they could not find the money to pay the lawyers to contest the lawsuit in the time allotted. Said for in preparing for Evil Dead 4 Consequences, Award Pictures went to the trademark office and argued that since Raimi's first film came out in 1981, his company exhibited a lack of control over it, allowing it to be used as titles in 20 other motion pictures. Additionally, an award pointed to Raimi's content in 2000 in a 2000 book that he would never do a sequel as proof that the Evil Dead trademark was abandoned. Didn't we talk about this before?
We did, yeah.
But, like, I think it was just now going to... He was filing a lawsuit or something. Because the award could not get its shit together in court, a California judge prevented the company from using the trademark to avoid confusing matters when the Raimi-produced Evil Dead remake hits next year.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes.
So...
I would say that's what a complete and utter waste of time for them to do that, by the way. Like, they knew that was never going to fucking go through. They had to. I don't know what was the deal with the financing or whatever. Maybe they just wanted to get their company's name out there, but that was complete stupidity for them to even think that.
Well, the deal is like, okay, just because he said something in an interview about the fucking... You know, that was the basis, pretty much.
Which,
so.
If anybody that hears that would be like, that's fucking insane. So, you know they had to know that. Or somebody would tell them, at least at some point, hey, that's a really stupid idea. But no.
But sadly, there are not going to be an Evil Dead 4.
I'm going to make a bold prediction about the new Evil Dead remake. It's going to suck.
I think it's going to be great.
This is something that's actually got me pretty excited. I almost can't sit still.
Can't you?
The Nightmare on Elm Street series on box set is coming out on Blu-ray. The whole fucking box set.
Yeah, interestingly enough, like, there was a box set that came out in the UK last year, and it looks exactly the same. It's the same artwork and everything.
Probably is the
same. But now it's coming out in the US, so.
So apparently, the series will debut on Blu-ray October the 2nd.
Yeah, I think that date is actually wrong now, though, because they actually yanked all of the pre-orders and stuff since then.
Motherfucker, why? So
they're probably changing the date on it, I'm good.
I want to know when that's coming out. That's killer. So far, only 1, 2, and 3 are out on Blu-ray. Did you know that? Well, if you don't include Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah, Freddy vs. Jason's out.
And the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which I don't include that in anything.
The thing is, though, is like... The Elm Street Blu-rays they come out with in the UK, which actually work here in the US, they work on players here in the US. The other ones, like, didn't really, I mean, they looked okay, but it's like, so if it's the same thing, it's probably not going to be that big of a deal.
I wasn't overly, like, blown away with the way Part 3 looked anyway, like the US release of Part 3. I thought they could have done a much better job on that, but.
What's even more interesting, though, if you look at it like this. See, all of the Halloween movies are out now on Blu-ray. All the Elm Street movies are going to be out within a couple months, probably. All the Hellraiser movies are out on Blu-ray.
Which is amazing, but yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much all the Children of the Corn movies are out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Yet, only 3 of Friday the 13th movies are out on Blu-ray. And there's no discussion about any of that shit in the near future coming out.
Well, thanks, Paramount. You bunch of cocksuckers.
All the Evil Dead movies are out on Blu-ray.
Yep.
You could go through, like, all the franchises. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Part 2's coming out.
Yeah, Part 2. We got Part... I think a 40th anniversary of the first one's supposed to be... They're supposed to be working on that, too. So.
Yeah.
Some wrestling news. I figured I'd throw a little bit of wrestling news in here. PW Insider confirms that there was a recent settlement between the WWE and the World Wildlife Fund, which is now known as the WWF, which allows WWE to use their old WWF logo on footage.
Wow.
WWE made some kind of a payment to the World Wildlife Fund and is now allowed to use the WWF logo and say WWF over footage as long as it's old footage.
Huh.
For example, WWE couldn't have a legend come out on Raw next week and cut a promo and talk about how he used to hold the WWF title and wrestle on WWF pay-per-views. But
they could go back and take all that stupid shit off, like the old pay-per-views and stuff where they had to blank out the screen on the Attitude Era bullshit and all that stuff.
They're getting prepared, I think, for the network because it would probably cost them millions and millions of dollars to go back, because the network is relying mainly on their old footage.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're going to have some new shows.
You imagine doing that, though, like going back and coming up at.
Well, the logo is one thing, right? The WWF Scratch logo, which they couldn't use before. They had to blur that shit out, okay? But the bad thing is you have to go back and listen to the audio. Could you imagine the difficulty in that shit?
Right.
You have to listen to every little word, make sure WWF is blurred, is bleeped, you know, edited out. So I think this is great news. Now all the old pay-per-views can be released again on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever they want to do, and it'll be unaltered.
Finally, so, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good news, though. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, this is actually, I think that news came out a couple weeks ago.
So, here's some more good news, though. I know you've been looking forward to this. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D remake. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Lionsgate, of course, is aiming to release the film on January the 4th. And today, the MPAA weighed in, giving it an R rating for strong grisly violence. Directed by John Lusenhop.
Yeah, the creator of the Lusenhop Bob.
The new film, a direct sequel to Tobe Hooper's first film. Well, yeah, that's wonderful. Stars Alexandra Daddario, Tanya Raymond, Sue Rock, Scott Eastwood, Bill Moseley, Gunnar Hansen, Trey Songz, Kareem Maliki Sanchez. That's right. Sean Sipas, Thomas Berry, Paul Ray, and Richard Reel.
Well, that sounds like an amazing cast.
That's an all-star cast right there. You're not going to beat that.
They've actually released the teaser posters for them. It kind of looks just like the Platinum Dunes shit. The same, you know, that modern, just like Arial text or Times New Roman or whatever the hell it is, that generic fucking look.
Isn't there a trailer out for it? Like a teaser trailer or something like that?
If there is, it doesn't have anything. Mm-hmm. I know there's a couple of photos out. I mean, look, people try to argue me like you shouldn't judge a movie until it fucking comes out. But
there's always a couple people that do that, though.
Yeah.
But they're wrong in this case.
To me, in my opinion, and I know some people don't agree with it, but the thing is, there's only one movie that deserves to keep the name The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, in my opinion, and that's the one that they made in 73. You know, and there hasn't been a decent follow-up to that since then. So what makes you think that fucking 40 years later they're going to fucking finally do it?
I saw something the other day where somebody was like, like that prequel was fucking awesome, but that remake ain't worth shit. Like, how? I don't get that. Like, how can you think the prequel?
I do think the prequel is slightly better than that remake.
It's amazing,
though.
And the remake is like a piece
of shit. Neither of them are good, but the prequel is probably slightly better.
I thought they were both complete shit. Like, I didn't even...
Well, I like the prequel just because Jordana Brewster's hot ass is in it. I could look at her in anything.
Right.
Like to take her and hubby a little bit thicker.
Lobby.
So, yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D, not coming out. It's coming out January 4th, which is bizarre. That's the strangest fucking date for a horror movie I've ever seen. Anyway, Bates Motel, Uncle Bill. Unfortunately, we're not talking about the classic 1987 TV movie.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. We're not talking about
with,
that.
Bud Cort.
I watched that. It was probably about a year ago or something
was
like
it,
that.
Lori Petty was in that, too, I think. Bud Cort.
I watched that because you were saying something about it, like you actually liked it when it came out and everything. Like, that's the most bizarre fucking
how
shit.
The fuck did you even get to see it?
I had a DVD-R that somebody made and sent it to us. Okay. It might have been Dana or somebody like that, but that's just the weirdest damn show.
What's funny about the Bates Motel, though, that show, is it's one of those, like, Universal, who actually made that. I mean, it was the Universal TV or whatever. And they were going to make it into a series. It was going to be a TV series. That's why the end was the way it was, where it's like, okay, this is setting everything up for, which never came to be. But it's one of those deals where they're just trying to make, like, it's almost impossible to find that anymore. I think the copy I have is something that was recorded off the Sci-Fi Channel probably like 10 or 15 years ago or something. So, and that, I think that was the last time it was ever played. Like, it's one of those deals where, like, they're trying to kind of erase that it was ever made. So, you'll probably never ever see a real legit DVD of the Bates Motel.
I can't see that happening, really.
Which would be, honestly, though, to me, man, like, I thought there were a couple of parts in it that was actually kind of spooky.
I'm not sure if spooky is the word I would use.
Spooky.
It's going to get really fucking spooky.
Going to get real spooky.
Spooky. Spook, 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 spook.
We've got to do another spooktacular Halloween spooky spooktacular.
That's probably, you know, now that I think back about it, that's got to be in my top five favorite shows that we've ever done.
Just because it's so fucking random.
Yeah, it really was, but it kind of
worked.
Go
back and actually listen to that again. But anyway, new Bates Motel is what we're talking about. Actually, Vera Farmiga is coming back for the A&E TV series inspired by Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 tale, Psycho. The show is described as a contemporary exploration of Norman Bates's formative years and will explore his relationship with his mother, Norma. Farmiga will play Norma, described as a complicated, passionate, and compelling woman who is smart, multidimensional, and always capable of surprising people. It is expected to be more of a layered and grounded portrayal than Olivia Hussey's over-the-top paranoid schizophrenic version in the 1990 telemovie Psycho for the Beginning. So, we'll have to wait and see.
Let me tell you what it won't be as good as, though. It won't be as good as seeing Olivia Hussey's titties, baby. It won't be that good, will it? No.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
So you get to do that if you watch that Psycho 4.
See, I actually like Psycho 4, though. I thought it was pretty good.
I didn't like it very much, but I like that part of it. I enjoy that.
I like the big old voluptuous with Canadian titties.
Man, she's one of the hottest women ever back in her heyday. And even at that time, as a matter of fact.
So, like, you can't blame Norman for having a hard-on?
Not
for his
really.
Own mother,
not
if his
really,
mother
no.
looked like that. They'd be like, Mommy, you got some massive titties.
Mammy.
God damn.
Golly, Paul.
Holy shit.
Look at them dudes.
We don't have a bunch of retarded babies up in here. We're going to have babies, going to have toes on their fucking head and everything.
That has to be the worst pickup line ever. We're going to have a bunch of retarded babies up in here.
Oh, Diddy, fuck you, then squirt it all up in that mommy pussy.
It keeps getting worse. But anyway, I think that's it, isn't it, for the news?
Yeah, I believe it is.
So?
We got some conventions, one that's actually going on this weekend right now, and one that's next weekend, so we'll talk about those. Horror Find Weekend in Gettysburg, PA. Our good buddy Malcolm McDowell, they're going to have a Pet Cemetery reunion with Denise Crosby, Dale Midkiff, Miko Hughes, and others. Also, there will be Ray Wise, Tyler Mayne, Kim Darby, Meg Foster, and a lot more. Go to Horror Find Weekend. Can't mix those two up.
No.
.com for more info. And next weekend is a show we'll be at, Horror Hound in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's the first show there in over a year and a half. The show's featuring Linda Hamilton, Heather Langenkamp, Timothy Baum, Aliens Reunion, Monster Squad Reunion, Night of the Living Dead Reunion, and more importantly, us.
I saw where they added us on there. That was.
Oh, did they finally?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what caused them to do that.
Because you probably told them to.
I didn't know they added us.
You motherfuckers.
So go to horrorhoundweekend.com. Check it out. Be there and buy a bunch of stuff from Dead Pit and then go buy your autographs.
All right. So, let's go on to the DVD and Blu-ray releases for September the 4th. You have Piranha 3DD, which I beg of you not to buy, because I watched it and it's a piece of trash. It's trashing. It's a bunch of garbage.
But I like my women just a little on the trashy side.
I like my women
just a little on the trashy side.
When they wear
their clothes too tight and their hair is dyed.
too much lipstick and too much rouge. Gets me excited,
leaves me feeling confused.
I like my women and I like them on the trashy side. That's a blast.
That's
from
some
the
old
past.
School shit. But those motherfuckers got my respect because they didn't sell out.
No, they didn't. That's why they're playing Betsy Lane Gymnasium right now. That's Confederate Railroad for all the love of you that don't know.
Daddy always was the Cadillac kind, too.
All that first album they did, that was
actually
like,
the first two albums.
They were amazing, yeah.
Yeah, they had that one song called Notorious. That's good, too.
I remember that, yeah. What was their first album? The first album wasn't
The first album was just Confederate Railroad, I think was the name of it.
What was the one, I saw stars
dancing on the water. I don't know.
Queen of Memphis, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for country music and stuff, like around that period especially, that is probably one of the only groups that still holds up. Like, most of that shit was just like fucking Mark Chestnut's ass.
Joe Diffie.
Yeah, buddy. What was the, welcome to our third right from the sun. He's like dancing. Oh, shit. I
forgot about that song. Yeah.
He's dancing in front of a fucking big old globe. Look at my mullet. I'm Joe Diffie.
Fucking Sammy Kershaw. My damn, yeah. You.
Well, Sammy Kershaw, he made a career to fucking try to sound like George Jones.
Yeah, he did. God almighty. That shit was awful back in the
day. He did get to fuck Lori Morgan, though, so I have mad respect for him. Anyway, well, enough. I'm sure people are like, God damn, shut up. Fucking country shit.
Couple of Blu-ray releases that I'm actually really looking forward to are coming out, though. Reanimator on Blu-ray, which I already pre-ordered. So, hopefully they won't have a signing for it, because I already fucking pre-ordered the thing off Amazon.
Oh, Reanimator?
Yeah.
Well, it's already out. Didn't it just come out?
No, it's not out until September the 4th. September.
Well, it's only like, what is it, 12-something?
Yeah, it's like $12.
And I actually hear the Blu-ray is, because Image Entertainment's coming out with it, and usually, like, their stuff is iffy, but I heard this one's pretty good, like the reviews and stuff.
Another one that I actually like this movie, but that's only, the simple reason is only because, like, I saw it in the movie theater when I was younger, and I don't know why it's one of those movies that you think is good, but it's really not. Sleepwalkers, which is a Stephen King movie from the 90s, which is kind of shitty now, but I have a special place for it. That's coming out on Blu-ray.
There has to be a couple of you.
Yeah. I don't imagine there's that many people that like this movie. And then the Mother's Day Blu-ray is also coming out. Is that the original Mother's
Day?
That's
the original Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's good.
Which, I've been told that we're getting a copy of that to review, but I haven't got it yet.
We probably won't. So anyway, those are your DVD and Blu-ray releases for September the 4th.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go through all of the releases that's coming out for the rest of this fall season, all the way to November. So, we'll be back. We're going to talk about TV shows. We're going to talk about DVD releases, Blu-ray releases, and theatrical stuff as well. Doesn't that sound appetizing, Uncle Bill?
It does.
Here on DeadPiat.com.
Wet vinyl.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugging, thugging, thugging. Word life.
My name is Amy Steele, and I was from Friday the 13th, Part 2, and I'm Jenny, and you're now listening to Dead Fit Radio.
Once you know its secret, nothing can protect you from Suspiria.
She must die! Help! There's a murderer!
Suspiria, the most terrifying film you've ever heard. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
You are about to come face to face with Basket Case. Please slip on your free, specially designed surgical mask that has been provided for you. Be certain it's fastened tightly. Let's all step into the operating room together. Dr. Needleman has just finished sedating the patient. The operation will now begin.
Nurse, the scalpel, please.
He's conscious.
There's blood all over my mask, all over the room. Oh.
Basket Case. A different twist in horror. To keep the blood off your face, a free, specially designed surgical mask will be provided to every patron entering the theater. Don't dare enter without your mask.
Howdy, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back. It's time for the fucking fall preview.
It's the 2012 Fall Horror Preview Show. Mm-hmm. Dead bit.
It's the frolicking Fall Horror Preview Show.
We're going to frolic all over some good shit. Basically, I guess a couple things that we could talk about real quick, because I don't really have much to say about either of these shows, but you're a fan of the shows, and there's going to be new seasons of The Walking Dead and American Horror Story.
When?
Hell, I don't know.
I thought you meant they were coming up.
They usually come on the same time, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to them. I'm not sure when the next Walking Dead starts, though. But
I'm just so fucking sick of everything Walking Dead, though. Golly. They've run that shit into the ground.
You know, that's going to be the problem here shortly, is that everybody's going to be sick of that, and that show's not going to exist anymore.
Yeah.
Within the next 2 years, I'm going to
be. Sean Clark's going to be crying.
Yeah.
God damn, nobody fucking likes Norman Reedus anymore.
What we're going to do with this, though, is that the fall preview shows, we're going to go through a lot of the upcoming horror films that haven't been released yet and talk about what's on the horizon. And to be quite honest, there's not a whole lot of stuff on here. It looks like it's going to blow anybody's skirt up.
But we might as well talk about all of it. Don't just make fun of it.
Yeah. So, we go ahead and get started with one that just recently came out. Actually, I think it came out yesterday, or I guess if you're listening to this, last Friday.
Yeah, this past Friday.
So, The Possession.
Yeah.
Which was produced by Sam Raimi, I believe, and directed by Ole Bordendahl, who is that's Arn Bordendahl's brother.
Is it?
Yeah, that's Ole Bordendahl. The story apparently is a loose retelling of a Los Angeles Times writer Leslie Gornstein's article Jinx in a Box about an antique wooden box purchased on eBay, which reportedly had been brought to America by a Holocaust survivor after World War II. The box, supposedly containing an evil spirit, brings devastating effects to a series of buyers inspired by these real events. So The Possession centers around that story and a retelling of that story.
Yeah. Now, I've heard a couple of people say it's actually not that bad. Of all the Ghost House releases they've had, this is one of the better ones, but who knows.
When I look at that movie, though, I automatically think of The Grudge. Like, that is essentially what it looks like. Like, the hand coming up out of the throat looks like the hand coming out of the back of the head and The Grudge and all that.
Yeah.
It's like all those kind of movies look, those ghost-style movies look generally the same. And I'm not a fan.
What's interesting, though, is, like, at least, like, I don't know how this happened, but this got released theatrically. And most of the stuff we're going to be talking about on here is not going to get any kind of theatrical release, is the sad thing. I mean, some of these will, but the majority of these you're not going to see anywhere in a movie theater. At least, you know, not across the U.S. I mean, maybe New York, L.A., Chicago,
yeah.
Wherever. Like this next film, which is the latest from Pascal Laugier, who did Martyrs, which was an excellent little movie. The Tall Man, which also came out this past Friday, which Jessica Biel is actually in this. And it looks like one of those deals where they tried to make it kind of mainstream by getting her in it, maybe, but still, you know, no interest, really. But
I haven't even heard of that, actually.
Yeah.
Or maybe I did hear about it, but I mean, I haven't heard a lot about it or anything, for sure.
The story is set in an isolated, slowly dying mining town, similar to where we're at right now. Children are vanishing without a trace, abducted. The town folk whisper by a mysterious entity known as the Tall Man. Town nurse Julia Denning seems skeptical until her young son David disappears in the middle of the night, frantic to rescue the boy. Julia lives every parent's darkest nightmare. So, you know, I haven't heard anything about this. I don't know if it was, I think it was another one of those on-demand releases.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you want to watch it sometime this week, we could probably watch it. I know the next movie we're going to be talking about, we're probably going to watch here later tonight. So we'll give you some feedback on that.
Well, wait a minute. Let me comment on Jessica Biel real quick.
Oh, God.
Oh.
God damn.
Wow. Sucking now. She is an excruciatingly, painfully hot woman. I don't think anybody would deny that.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's also excruciating to watch, in my opinion, like acting-wise.
Like, dude, that Total Recall remake
shit. She was in that one.
Oh, God. That's like fucking somebody poured
paint. Damn, Jessica Biel, you suck.
I mean, I really can't stand to watch her in films. I really never liked her in anything I've ever seen her in. It's never been good. But whatever, she's hot and she wore her shirt up and whatever. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Showed that ass.
Look here. Look here.
God damn.
But anyways, yeah, the tall man. There's only one tall man, buddy, and that's Angus Scrimm. Fuck you.
That's true.
Anywho.
So.
VHS is the next one.
DVD!
Actually got an email, by the way, in reference to VHS about interviewing some of the directors. And the only person I wanted to interview was Ty West, because you never can get him for an interview or anything. And the guy emailed me back and was like, buddy, don't you want anybody else?
No, I don't.
I really don't.
We'd interview that fucking Adam Wingard and ask him what the fuck was wrong with him when he made that Homesick movie.
Yeah.
I think that movie sucked.
But it's like, man, I don't get that. Like, you're putting out a movie, like, wouldn't it be better just to have at least somebody from that movie talking about it rather than just...
Yeah.
Don't you want nobody else?
Don't you... I won't give everybody. Come on.
Yeah, get everybody on there, fuck. I don't think a lot of people, like, when they're promoting a movie, really appreciates our style of interview. Because, like, we just don't want to ask them about whatever the latest piece of shit is they're working on.
No, and that's what they want. That's really the only thing.
So, let's talk about VHS. How did this story come about? Nobody gives a fuck.
They really don't. Hey, that's the thing. Like, unless you're a giant horror journalist nerd guy, like, you don't give a shit about VHS or any of this stuff.
Yeah, so what's VHS about?
VHS is the story of a group of misfits hired by an unknown third party to burglarize a desolate house and acquire a rare VHS tape. They discover more found footage than they bargained for. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no, baby.
And it's an anthology. That's why there's so many different directors attached to it. You have Adam Wingard, Ty West, David Bruckner, Glenn McQuaid, Joe Swanberg. And there's actually a guy named Radio Silence.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck his yeah. Name.
Radio Silence.
Well, I want to see the one by Radio Silence.
I don't know if that's the real guy's name or not, but that's killer if there was.
I think it is.
Buddy, I'm Radio Silence. Fuck
yeah. Me. I mean, the only issue I have is it's one of those deals where, okay, it's these guys in the West Coast Elite Horror Club pushing their shit.
Somehow or another, I thought that Adam Green had something to do with this, too.
Yeah, a lot of people did, but no, this was one he stayed out of. But I know our good buddy Brad Miska from Blood Disgusting is one of the producers on it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, this is something like we've got. We're going to actually take a look at it at some point, maybe tonight. We'll see. And give you guys a review on it. It'll be interesting.
Maybe sometime in the near future.
The next one, and a lot of these are video on demand, too. This seems to be the next big wave. I don't know what you want to say about it, of releasing these movies, because... Yeah, and I was wanting to talk about this on After Dark with you, but you, of course, didn't fucking show up.
Right.
I see the landscape changing quite a bit with how we, and it's already done so, actually, with how we watch movies. I don't think the theatrical thing is going to be around. I mean, it's not really around now, as far as these movies that we like to watch. But here in the next 10 years, I would be surprised if it was around at all. I mean, I don't know what you think. But it seems like the video-on-demand stuff is really becoming the next big wave because, hey, if you go on, like I've got Voodoo on my new TV, and that's got all the on-demand stuff on there. And honestly, like it's expensive. Like if you want the HD of VHS, it's like $10.99. But, you know... It's not that bad considering how much a ticket to the damn movie theater is and once you go there and your gas money and all that shit.
Right.
So, I mean, do you think at some point this could completely replace, you know, the theatrical experience?
Yeah, I really do think that it could because people seem to be becoming more and more content to not go out and not go to the theaters and things like that. Like, I think that if you could provide somebody with a cheap and easy format to use on their own TVs, that they probably would never go out to movies.
It seems like all these new TVs are they have that smart TV technology where it's kind of like a little computer in the TV, you know? And that seems to, you know, Vudu and Netflix and all that shit seems to be the way things are going. But the next movie, Greystone Park, which is coming out on September 13th on video on demand and October 16th on DVD, directed by Sean Stone, who I have no clue who it is, but we're, you know, the thing is, some of these, like I was, you know, like we've said before, some of these could be sleeper, you know, sleeper movies. I mean, not everybody has to be. I'm more behind supporting something directed by somebody I don't know rather than supporting, you know, somebody like fucking Adam Wingard, who I know fucking made pieces of shit before. So anyway.
Look, you ain't gonna sit here in front of me and bash Adam Wingard. I'll tell you
that. I just
did,
boy.
You ain't gonna do that. That's my
boy.
He's my boy. That's Adam Wingard.
The story is based on true events. The film follows three aspiring filmmakers trying to document unexplainable events in an abandoned insane asylum known as Greystone Park. Urban legend has it that anyone who ventures into the forsaken hospital will suffer the consequences and face their own horrors.
Holy shit.
The trio stumble across a mysterious realm of escaped patients, ghosts, and demonic shadows as they try to uncover the truth behind Greystone Park.
Did you know that Sean Stone is Oliver Stone's son?
Well, I'll be a motherfucker. Maybe he's got a little bit of his daddy's talent.
And a lot of people may not realize this, but Oliver Stone has actually directed horror films.
Yeah. He directed The Hand.
He did. You know what else he directed?
Platoon. That's a horror film.
He did. He also directed Natural Born Killers, which is kind of a horror film.
He directed JFK, which is an amazing fucking movie. I think it was the best movie you ever did.
It was a good movie.
So anyway.
Yeah.
What do you think about Greystone Park? Hey, that makes me more excited, man. Fuck, it's, I mean, you know, who knows? It could suck, but still, it's got, to me, it's got.
It looks a lot like The Ward, like the cover of it and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it just reminds you of a movie like that, which was John Carpenter's last film.
Hey now, motherfucker. Hey now,
you're
let's go see Greystone Park.
Put your game on, get play.
I'm an all-star.
Let's talk about your favorite movie, though, The Hole. I know it's.
I do enjoy The Hole.
Yeah. This movie, man, the thing I remember about this has been rumored to come out for fucking years. I think we were talking about this, like, years ago. It's Joe Dante's movie.
Is it finally done?
It must be, I guess. Joe Dante, of course, directed Gremlins and The Howling and movies like that, has got a new film coming out called The Hole, which, I mean, I've literally heard about this for forever, it seems like.
Hey, goddamn, The Hole.
It says here there's a preview of the film at Comic-Con 2009.
That's killer.
That's fucking 4 years ago. But anyway, starring Terry Polo of the Polo shirt fame.
Right.
Chris Massaglia, whatever, Haley Bennett.
Chris Misogynistic.
Nathan Gamble and Quinn Lord. You remember Quinn Lord? That was a little fella from Trick or Treat.
Quinn Lord was probably younger in this movie than he was in Trick or Treat.
He probably was. Says, story is Susan and her sons, Dane and Lucas Thompson, move from Brooklyn to Bensonville in the countryside. Dane is upset with the constant changes of address, and the family has lived in many cities, so Lucas and Dane befriend their next-door neighbor, the gorgeous Julie, and the brothers find a bottomless hole in the basement of their house locked with several padlocks. They take the locks off, and soon they are haunted by their darkest fears. Further, they believe that the hole might be a gateway to hell. That sounds like The Gate. Is that just the fucking gate? That somebody did Joe Dante read the
Joe
script
Dante's
of the gate?
Watching The Gate when I was like, oh, shit.
How can I make that into something new?
Yeah. Pretty much Joe Dante, you did fucking, what was the last movie he did? Was it that Looney Tunes movie?
Yeah. You mean the last movie he did, period, before this?
Yeah, I think it was. Or maybe he did the Masters of Horror since then or something.
Oh, yeah, that's not really. I think it would have been one of those Space Jam Looney Tunes movies or something.
So, we got a couple of other ones. Bait 3D.
Bait.
It's another one of those killer shark movies. When a monstrous freak tsunami hits a sleepy beach community, a group of survivors from different walks of life find themselves trapped inside a submerged grocery store. As they try to escape safely, they soon discover there is a predator among them more deadly than the threat of drowning. A vicious great white shark or more than one vicious great white shark circling, lurking the water, starved hungry for fresh meat. As the bloodthirsty sharks begin to pick the survivors off one by one, the group realizes they must work together to find a way out without being eaten alive.
Hmm.
So this is basically sharks in a supermarket.
How you gonna beat that?
That should be the name of the damn movie.
Yeah, it should. Sharks in a supermarket.
Yeah.
And they had Samuel L. Jackson, get these goddamn sharks out of this supermarket.
This goddamn supermarket.
I don't really know what to say about that, except that the cover looks exactly like any movie you'd see on Sci-Fi ever.
It probably will be on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
Comes out on September 14th, that one does.
That one. So, House at the End of the Street is the next one. Man, like, seriously. At this point in the game...
This one is coming out in a theater, too.
At this point in the game, can we not think of anything better than that? You know how many goddamn movies there are that sound like that? Like, you'd be...
How about
Last
the
house?
The house at the end of the street on the edge of the park.
Yeah, we had that song or something. But directed by Mark Tondere, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Elizabeth Shue, and Max Thoreau. The story centers around a young woman who moves with her mom to a new town and learns that their home is next door to a house where a double murder took place.
Oh, my God.
Complications ensue when the teen befriends the massacre's sole surviving son.
God damn.
Oh, man. This is another one that's been delayed for a long, long period of time, and it's supposed to be reminiscent of The Strangers, apparently.
Well, let's stay away from it. Resident Evil Damnation. That's another one I'm fucking staying away from. How many goddamn Resident Evil movies are there now? I can't even remember.
Let's see, there's at least four.
I think there's more than that. It seems like every other year there's a fucking new Resident Evil movie. You tell Jess to quit fucking texting your ass.
She tell me about Papa, but you shut up.
Oh, Papa just shit all over himself again. It's so cute.
I'm going to FaceTime you, her taking a shit.
So anyway, Resident Evil Damnation. Let's just completely skip it. It comes out... on
you should too,
September the 25th.
I
think it's an animated movie or something, though. Yeah. It's one of those. Didn't they have another one that was, like, animated or something?
Yeah, because the last one only came out, like, 6 months ago or something.
Yeah, I think that's another one of those fucking old shitty animated ones. Another one that I'm almost positive is, well, it is a DVD. It comes out on DVD October the 2nd. James Felix McKinney, who we reviewed some of his stuff on the show years ago, he's got one out. Actually, sounds pretty interesting. Called Hypothermia, starring Michael Rooker, and it's about Ray Pelletier and his wife Helen have been in ice fishing the frozen expanse of Lake Niyati for over two decades. But this year, something is different. No fish are biting. The new neighbors on the ice, Steve Jr. and his overbearing dad, with their high-tech gear and oversized rig that is driving the fish away, or is it something else? The answer comes in an onslaught of ferocious attacks that unites the two families against a mysterious creature from under the ice.
Huh.
So, it's basically like Jaws, but in a frozen tundra.
Yeah. It's like Jaws on ice.
Be a good fucking musical.
Jaws on ice, that would.
So we'll see on that one.
We'll have to check that out or not. It depends.
We're going through every goddamn thing. That's the thing. I mean, if there's nothing else, there's no possibility of any other kind of horror movies or anything coming out, video on demand, theatrically, this is it. This is it.
Yeah. So on October the 5th, all the hipsters in the world can fucking unite and get behind this, which I'm sure will be a giant piece of fucking trash.
Trash.
Fucking trash. But there'll be people that'll be fucking exploding with cum about this movie. Frankenweenie.
Fuck yeah.
Which is another animated film in the style of what appears to be, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, directed by Tim Burton. Holy shit. And look at all this. It's a regular smorgasbord of fucking washed up pieces of trash from his past film. You got Winona Ryder, Martin Short, Catherine O'Hara, Martin Landau, Atticus Schaefer, Robert Caprone, and Conchita Farrell.
But where's his bloke wife at?
She's in there. I guarantee you they just didn't put her on there.
What was her name?
Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah. That's John Bonham's sister. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, I'm Helena Bonham Carter, these.
Hello.
So, I'm a Morty.
I'm not going to read the plot of this. I'm just going to tell you what I think the plot of it is.
Frank and Weenie.
There's some supernatural dog or something like that that is estranged from his family or estranged from something, like his family or his friends, who finds a little kid, and that little kid, somehow or another, they form like a bond, and it's all gothic, and it looks like something that came from the 70s.
Do you think everybody's going to have blackened out eyes in it? Like their eyes are sunken in and stuff?
They're
going to have that look to it.
So now let's read the actual plot. After unexpectedly losing his beloved dog Sparky, young Victor. That's so cute. Sparky. I didn't read that at all before I said all that stuff. Young Victor harnesses the power of science to bring his best friend back to life. With just a few minor adjustments, he tries to hide his home-sown creation. But when Sparky gets out, Victor's fellow students, teachers, and the entire town all learn that getting a new leash on life can be monstrous. Thank God.
It's fucking Sparky.
It's a stop-motion animated film. So, oh my God. Bow down to it.
Sinister, which is a new movie with Ethan Hawke and Vincent D'Onofrio. A true crime novelist is struggling to find his next big story, discovers a box of home video showing other families being brutally murdered. But his investigation soon leads him to a supernatural entity that may be placing his own family in harm's way. I don't know what to think about that. Scott Derrickson directs it.
It does have a decent cast, though. Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, Fred Dalton.
Michael Hall, D'Audrio.
Fred Dalton. Is that the guy that was Hunter?
Yeah.
No, that's Fred Dreyer.
Fred Walton.
Fred Walton. Scott directed one.
Oh, so Sinister comes out October the 5th. I'm sure it's going to be another direct-to-DVD or video-on-demand dealio.
So,
what do you think, Aaron?
Yeah. Let me say this, though, about this next movie. Before we even get into this next movie, I don't know what studio is behind it, but just looking at the cover of it, I'm thinking it's Lionsgate. So let me tell you something. Have you noticed, man, and this is my big complaint about Lionsgate. I like them because they send us shit all the time, but all their movies look exactly the same.
No.
Like, if you blindfolded me before the credit screen came up, and you showed me 50 different movies, I guarantee you, just based on the look of the movie, I could pick out the ones that were Lionsgate films. They all look exactly the same. They look horrible, like that shitty, washed out, kind of dulled coloring the way it is.
I guess they make them like that though, because dumbasses buy them.
They do. They really do. But anyway, in that vein, which I think this has got to be a Lionsgate release, because I know that Darren Lynn Boozman directed it, and he's the one behind, like, Lionsgate always puts out his film. Stars Stephen Moyer from True Blood, Jay LaRose from Saw 3, Mia Kirshner, blah, blah, blah. The story, despite the reluctance, Richard Marlowe takes his wife Cynthia, their young son Danny, and teenage daughter Sadie to the Pine Barrens for a long weekend of camping and family bonding. As they arrive at the state forest, a mutilated deer runs out into the road, nearly colliding with the car. Later that evening, bloodied animal falls from a tree. Bad turns to worse when, in the middle of the night, a college boy camping nearby disappears into the woods. Nevertheless, Richard presses the family to hike further into the forest to the spot where he used to camp with his father. He is feverish, and a past wound on his arm appears badly infected, but it begins to rain, and there is no turning back. So, essentially, it's The Shining. The Shining in the fucking woods.
Yeah, directed by Darren Lynn Bousman.
Eat my ass, Darren Lynn Bousman, with your shit.
And I know people might say this as like a hater mentality or something. Darren Lynn Bousman's never made anything worth a fuck. So what makes you think it's going to be that like any different now?
He made Repo: The Genetic Opera.
That ain't worth a shit.
Make that, though. You know that. That's awesome.
He did make the Mother's Day remake.
He made that.
Which is probably not worth a fuck either.
You've got it. Won't you watch it, motherfucker?
I just don't want to. Paranormal Activity 4, Uncle Bill. This one comes out October 19th. Nobody knows exactly what the story is yet, but the tagline is, all of the activity has led to this. So, sounds to me like it's going to be a sequel for something that's happened in the other movies. Who knows? What the fuck could it be, is what I'm wondering. Like, how could you make a sequel when every character in all those movies is fucking dead?
It's all leading to this, though. That they just said
is it,
that.
Is yeah. it a new family in the same house?
Yeah. It's leading to this.
No, it's stupid witches and shit.
I really couldn't figure that out. Like, how are they going? They keep going back and forth between themes.
They're going to keep fucking... It's similar, very similar to the Saw movies, even though I like the Paranormal Activity movies a lot more.
Yeah.
It's like... Because they just make four... They make... Like, every year, I think the third one made more money than the other two. So they're like, well, they've got to do more of them. I mean, it just makes
hell
sense.
Yeah.
So.
Silent Hill movie, though, a new one's coming out. Silent Hill Revelation. On October the 26th, Michael J. Bassett's
directing. You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. It stars Adelaide Clemens, Kit Harington, Roger Mitchell, Sean Bean, Deborah Unger, Carrie Ann Moss, and Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, shit, Malcolm McDowell's in.
The story is... For years, Heather Mason and her father have been on the run, always one step ahead of dangerous forces that she doesn't fully understand. Now on the eve of her 18th birthday, plagued by terrifying nightmares and the disappearance of her father, Heather discovers she's not who she thinks she is. The revelation leads her deeper into a demonic world that threatens to trap her in Silent Hill forever. Fuck.
I've never seen the first Silent Hill.
I haven't either, and I don't want to. But... A lot of people did seem to like the first one, so they made a sequel to it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that one comes out October the 26th. There's not really much else coming out that I want to... I mean, there's some stupid werewolf movie.
Werewolf the Beast Among Us?
Yeah, let's not even mention that. But
man, this is amazing how shitty all this is. It's like I never...
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I was putting this list together, and I was like, wow, I mean, holy shit.
This is it? Like, this is really the only stuff that's coming out? Like,
yeah,
whoa.
As far as, like, new movies that's coming out. But, yeah, well, I mean, it's like, there's no doubt. I mean, it's an amazing, like, list of shit overall. I mean, there's a couple of things I'm probably going to highlight and try to check out. Like, all the ones that we listed on here, like, I think I would like to see Pascal Laugier's new movie. Just
yeah,
because that guy's definitely got some talent. And Greystone Park actually sounds like it might be okay. And that might be it. Of course, we're going to watch VHS. That's got like a mixed bag already, so.
Yeah.
And Paranormal Activity 4 we'll watch, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, we always got to watch those movies for some reason. I don't know why, really. But that just makes me appreciate this next list even more that you're getting ready to go through.
Yeah, because this is like all of the Blu-rays and DVDs, mainly Blu-rays. This is mainly the Blu-ray list because I don't really give a fuck about DVDs that much anymore.
No.
And who? One thing that pisses me off, though, man, I want to go through it. Fuck it. I don't even care because you know if we even get the shit, it's going to be the fucking DVDs. Fucking Shout Factory shit. Really? Like, why do you even fucking... This is what I like about Synapse. Synapse pretty much is done releasing DVD editions. They release the DVD and the Blu-ray in the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know.
You mean why would Shout Factory release DVD?
Yeah, why? All that shit was already on DVD.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, right?
And they're sending a lot of the stuff to review, the DVD versions. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah, because anybody that's reviewing this stuff already has the DVD versions. Yeah. I guarantee that.
Yeah.
So you probably want to send the version that
God.
You want
they're,
people
yeah.
to buy.
They're just, I think they're just on such a budget that they don't. I don't know.
That
don't
seems
know
to be the case. I've always, like, I mean, they've always been good about sending stuff and things like that, but I...
It's always the DVD.
Yeah,
they've never sent... Did they ever send any Blu-rays at all?
No.
They always send the DVD, so whatever.
Because they want me to spend $40 on their website buying that shit with a paper hat. Man, I don't give a fuck. That's ridiculous. That's for goddamn ridiculous to do that. Like, if you... Here's the thing. Like, they've got this deal... on Shout Factory site where if you go on there, you can buy the Blu-rays of these things with, like, limited edition posters. And in the case of Halloween 2, you can buy a limited edition nurse's hat.
I'm curious about the poster deal, like, because we know Nathan Milner did the artwork for that shit. Is he getting a cut of what of those posters, or did
I
they
bet
just?
He's not.
Yeah, he probably didn't.
But the thing is, once you pay the shipping and the tax on those and the regular price, it ends up being literally right around $40 for each fucking Blu-ray. Like, yeah. I'm not even kidding.
So anyway, basically Shout Factory. Yeah, we're probably not going to be reviewing any of the Shout Factory stuff on the show. Just let that out there. But some of the stuff that's coming out, we're going to go through just this past week, which The Walking Dead Season 2 came out. And there's actually a couple of different versions of that came out. Have you seen the Zombie Head Screwdriver edition?
Yeah, the big box.
Which is actually like the price isn't even that bad, man. It's like $60.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. And I think Todd McFarlane actually designed that thing too. So, or his team did. That came out this past Tuesday. So we got that. What else we got over there?
Well, we were talking about this earlier. The Reanimator Blu-ray's coming out this week, actually. This coming week. Image is putting that out, like you said. It's going to be the unrated version. Which, that's one I'm really looking forward to. There was two I was
I think they've ported all the extras from the last Anchor Bay edition over, too.
Yeah. There was two I always, like, really look forward to. Reanimator and Phantasm. Now, Phantasm still isn't out yet, but Reanimator... You know, we've got a chance to actually watch that one here.
Also, that same day, Anchor Bay, we were talking about this earlier, too, Mother's Day, the Blu-ray for Mother's Day, which I don't know how good a movie like that could actually look on Blu-ray, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, trauma movies generally don't look great on Blu-ray anyway. Yeah. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2 is coming out on Blu-ray on September 11th. Also, I think I pre-ordered this one as well. Coming out from MGM. And I think it's just the Gruesome Edition, isn't it? Like, isn't it a port of the Gruesome Edition of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre DVD?
Yeah. Actually, we may be getting all these to review.
Too. Oh, really?
So, on the same day, they're going to have three different movies come out. You mentioned Chainsaw 2 before. Killer Clowns from Outer Space is debuting on Blu-ray on September 11th as well. I'm guessing all of the extras will probably be ported over for that. I don't think they've announced exactly what's on there yet. So,
yeah, and I actually kind of look forward to that one, too.
Yeah.
To see what that looks like.
Yeah, that one should look like, if it's done right, it should actually look really cool.
Another one that I really, really love that a lot of people either hate or don't even talk about anymore is Jeepers Creepers. It's coming out on Blu-ray from MGM as well. I don't know, man. There's such a dividing thing about that movie that I don't really understand.
I think that the setup was great, but it kind of like, I don't know, as the movie went on, I just think it like, had it had a better director or something, it would have been way better.
You didn't like Victor Salva?
No!
He likes diddle kids. Did you like that about
diddle, him? Diddle, little kiddle.
Don't diddle your kids, folks. That's a
don't
kid.
Diddle your kiddles. Uh-huh. So we were talking about Shout Factory, their first big release. September 18th, and all these are pretty much back-to-back. I mean, each week, there's going to be a bunch of stuff come out. Now we're on to, I guess, September 18th. You've got the Halloween 2 Collector's Edition Blu-ray, which is just loaded with special features
and
stuff.
It looks amazing. Yep. The stuff that comes with it's amazing. I just wish we would have actually got a chance to, like, get the fucking Blu-ray of it. That would have been really nice, but...
We're just going to have to pay for it, Uncle Bill. They don't respect us.
I'll be honest with you. That particular one I may not ever pay for. Like, I like that movie and everything. I've already got it on Blu-ray. I mean, if they're going to be bitches about it, I ain't going
to. Well, here's something else, too, man. Like, we actually did, like, a Q&A.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know exactly what was said, but, like, Felcher wanted us to take it down because they... Well, I mean, seriously, like, there are people that are just completely uptight and you want to be completely serious all the time about every goddamn thing. And, like, goddamn, man. I mean, fuck, I don't know. I'm just getting a bad vibe from those people at Shout Factory.
Yeah, and actually, I thought that, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of people at Q&A. I thought it went really well, though, for
fuck
what
yeah,
it was.
Most of these Q&A's suck dick.
Yeah.
And I thought it was good. Like, I mean, there was a ton of shit that we didn't even get. That was awesome. A lot of stories told and stuff like that. So, whatever, man. I mean, I just get, like, so sick of actually, like, because we promoted the fuck out of all this shit. You know, nobody, I mean, they don't seem to give a fuck. So, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with just bashing the shit out of them now. Even though they put out good products and stuff. But, like, man, fuck. I mean, seriously. Like, we've been doing this show for, like, 7 years. What does a Blu-ray cost them, anyway? Yeah, and you know for a fact, if we got this shit to review, we would promote the... It would be, like, insane how much shit, but whatever.
We ain't going to, so they're going to have to eat a dick unless something changes within the next 2 weeks.
I think still eat a dick. I don't like the whole thing that happened, that Q&A bullshit.
So, other than Halloween 2, though, they're also releasing Halloween 3, which is the first time that movie's been on Blu-ray. That's
a collector's edition.
Yeah.
Also, Lorber Films is releasing The Mask of Satan, a.k.a. Black Sunday, on September 18th.
Woo-hoo!
The Mario Bava classic.
Black Sunday.
It's a pretty cool little Bava film. It's actually, I don't want to say it's one of my favorites, but it was a black and white movie, as I remember, and I remember being having some spooky moments.
But if you don't like Black Sunday, you fuck yourself.
I'm more of a fan of White Sunday.
Woo. Also, one of my favorite shows is apparently making its debut on Blu-ray with the American Horror Story. The complete first season is coming out from 20th Century Fox on September the 25th. And if you haven't seen this show, then you should try to get this, like, get them to send this to you. Because it's one of those shows where it's like, it really has no business whatsoever being on television.
I don't know if we ever got a press release for this shit.
Yeah. But you should check it out. Everybody should check it out.
Yeah, that's on September 25th. The next week, on October 1st, or 2nd, I think. Supposedly, I haven't heard anything about this, though, so I don't know. I mean, maybe this has been delayed because there hasn't really been anything about it, and it's just a month away. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 40th Anniversary Edition, coming out from New Line / Warner Brothers. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about them. I mean, this was already released on Blu-ray probably about 4 or 5 years ago from Dark Sky Films, and that was loaded. Like, that did, I mean, it's the same as the 2-disc DVD that came out as well. I mean, it had, like, tons and tons of shit on it, so. And I think Felcher actually did the special features on those as well, so I don't know if they're going to use that, if it's going to be some new stuff. I don't know what really can be said about Texas Chainsaw Massacre that hasn't.
Yeah, you can't. I can't think of anything. A movie that I think is highly underrated, though, and that doesn't get a lot of mention anymore, except for a couple of reunions. But you can't really have reunions for this anyway, since the best part of the movie died when Fred Gwynn died. But Pet Sematary is coming out on Blu-ray October the 2nd from Paramount Pictures, and that's one that I'm actually kind of excited about, too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because Paramount, like, are usually pretty good about their Blu-rays. I mean, their stuff usually looks pretty damn good, so. Also, on October the 2nd, Warner Brothers is coming out with the new Dark Shadows on Blu-ray, DVD, and ultraviolet digital copy. And it's a movie that, I don't know, we were kind of mixed on when we reviewed it. I don't remember. I don't think we hated it or loved it. It was kind of like in the middle.
Honestly thought it was a poorly made film and just kind of like a drab.
Yeah. Kind of, I mean, movie. I don't remember it being completely awful, but it wasn't that great either. So
it's, man, Tim Burton stuff lately, I could really give a shit less about any of his films anymore.
You quit talking trash about Tim
Burton. I really could. Like, I don't understand people that like his films now. Like, how the hell, I don't understand how the hell you could. Like, I know there's a whole group of people that absolutely jizz their pants over his stuff still yet, but I don't know how. Anyway.
They come in their diapers.
This is one we didn't get to see in theaters, but I would like to see eventually, too, is Prometheus is coming out October the 11th from 20th Century Fox, which is like an alien, was it supposedly an alien prequel?
I think so.
Yeah.
Not too many people like this movie either, from what I heard, so. But that's one of those movies that's so freaking long, I don't even really, I don't know. I didn't want to sit in the theater that damn long. But
you didn't want to sit for 3 hours and watch a Ridley Scott movie?
We ended up sitting for about 3 hours for The Dark Knight Rises, though. So
that was
the Strand.
That was better, though, I'm sure.
Yeah. another run of the Shout Factory / Scream Factory stuff on October the 16th with Terror Train coming out on Blu-ray Collector's Edition. And it's, you can say what you want to about Terror Train, but to me, I can think of probably 50 movies real quick off the top of my head that deserve a Collector's Edition before fucking Terror Train.
It is an odd choice, though, isn't it?
That's just fucking strange, man, because, like, Terror Train, nobody fucking likes Terror Train, really? That's just weird. Plus, I don't think the extras are going to be that good on that one, because they couldn't get anybody to really talk about the movie.
Everybody's like, no.
David Coffey was like, no.
Jamie Lee Curtis, no, I'm sorry.
Jamie Lee Curtis won't even talk about the Halloween sequel.
The Fun House is another one that's coming out from the Shout Factory line. That same day, October the 16th, is Terror Train. And The Fun House is an infinitely better movie than Terror Train, actually.
Yeah.
It's a Tobe Hooper directed film. Great, great slasher film that I had to watch it a couple of times to actually realize how good it was, too. But it's one of Hooper's only really good films after that.
Although,
after Chainsaw.
The thing is, this one has already been out on Blu-ray from Arrow Video. So, yeah. I mean, it's been out in the UK, but it worked. You know, the Blu-ray worked here in the U.S. Chernobyl Diaries, which is a movie that we didn't. I actually want to see this movie, though. I've heard it's horrible, but it just sounds like something I'd want to watch. A group of six young vacationers look to go off the beaten path, hire an extreme tour guide, ignoring warnings, and takes them to the city of Pripyat, the former home to the workers of the Chernobyl nuclear reactor.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, shit.
Yeah. We'll have to watch out for that on October the 16th as well. I think I actually requested that, and I'm pretty sure we'll get it, because nobody else will probably want
to
do it.
Everybody's like, no. Oh, fuck yeah, man. Look, let me tell you something. You don't stop putting this shit on here, I'm going to kill you.
What?
Apparently on October the 23rd, which I had no idea, I don't think this was coming out, Wrong Turn 5 from 20th Century Fox. Man, how many damn movies can they make out of that?
Well, it seems like they've made one every year for the last 3 years. They've had a new Wrong Turn director.
I guess it has become like a franchise or something, which I would have never, ever thought.
And that's the funny thing, too, about those Wrong Turn sequels. Goddamn, they sent us, like, what, two Blu-rays and two DVDs of the last one. And I think the one before that, too. Like, we always get, like, multiple copies. Like, they just fucking, oh, God, yeah, thanks.
Please. I can't get rid of this shit, dude.
So.
I wonder who's directing that turd.
John Gulager. They might as well.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter in 3D. It comes out on the 23rd. Oh, God. Movies like this is just a prime example of why Hollywood's in the shape it's in right now. Just fucking stupid shit.
You didn't like that as an idea for a movie?
No. I don't think it's cute. I think it's retarded.
And apparently the movie's horrible too, from what I've heard, so you may be right on that. And this one I didn't know about, actually, or I didn't recall. Rosemary's Baby is coming out on the Criterion Collection on Blu-ray.
Awesome.
On October the 30th.
The 30th,
baby.
Yeah. That's actually a really freaking good movie, too. Like, I haven't seen that in a long time. But I'm sure Criterion releasing it and all that, like, it'll look amazing. They have a ton of special features on it, too. Also, something I didn't know about until recently, Warner Brothers, because these were never, ever released on DVD, but on October the 30th, they're going to be releasing the Dark Shadows, the original Dark Shadows movies. The first one is House of Dark Shadows, which I've never seen either of these movies, though. And
I know I've seen both of them, but I don't remember Night of Dark Shadows that well, but I do remember that House of Dark Shadows is an amazing film. Like, it really is like a great horror film, even if you didn't know anything about fucking the series or anything.
Yeah. So you got House of Dark Shadows and Night of Dark Shadows both coming out on Blu-ray separately, not in a two-pack or anything, October the 30th.
30th. And then, this, in my opinion, is probably the one of these releases that I'm looking forward to the most, because, A, number one, the cover is fucking amazing, and two, like, this is a movie that, as I've gotten older, actually seems to get, like, better, which is They Live is coming on Blu-ray.
That's another one from our good buddies at Shout Factory.
Right. November the 6th, so that's the later of the releases that are coming out right now.
Yeah. So, hey, we got a lot of shit we can buy. We got not so much shit we can go to the theater to see.
Right.
So this has been your fall horror preview. And, of course, there's probably other things that we could have talked about, but I ultimately don't give a fuck about TV shows and stuff.
You want to talk about Father's Day coming out again? Because that's supposed to have came out like 19 times.
We could have that on there. It's coming out every week. It's coming out here. I think it is actually out now, though, because I've seen people that have had it.
Okay.
People want to know if we're going to review it, and to that I say no.
Why not? Because they don't give
it to us. We actually have a new agreement at Dead Pit. We're never reviewing any more trauma movies.
That would be fine with me, yeah.
So with that, I hope everybody enjoyed the 2012 fall horror preview. We're going to take a break. I know the preview has run rather long. We're going to have some announcements when we come back and get to some Blu-ray disc review, baby. What do you think about that, Uncle Bill?
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
DeadPit.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Welcome back, Uncle Bill. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's nice to see you again in this lonesome little studio we have here.
It is. You know, our good buddy Steve, Dr. Death Benningfield, and his girlfriend Dana are wanting to come up and look at the studio, but I'm probably not going to let them.
I don't think you should, really.
No, I probably won't.
That won't be a good idea.
The studio is a special atmosphere that we don't let a lot of people actually into.
Right. That's not something we do often, so we think it's best if you just stay there.
Yeah, just, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think it's best if they both stay away from the screening, too. I don't want them.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're mean.
I'm just kidding, Steve. Actually, more like Dana, because I'm sure she'd be the one that listens to this.
Yeah.
I'm
actually,
kidding.
Actually, Steve would be listening to it, too.
Oh, okay.
Steve's like an avid listener. So anyway, speaking of screenings, which we do need to talk about, on September the 22nd, 3 weeks from now, Uncle Bill.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? The Strand Twin in downtown Prestonsburg is going to be screening, thanks to us, the 30th anniversary of the cult slasher classic, a movie that you and I both love more than we should, actually, Madman.
Yeah.
So, That's actually, like, looking back at it, if you actually think about it, like, I think that's the reason, like, we both like doing these screenings so much is not only for the fact that, like, these screenings are the most popular thing that the Strand has going right now, honestly.
Right.
Because all these movies that come out suck ass and nobody wants to see them. But for the fact that we're bringing some movies that we love back to the big screen and shit that people are like, because I know when I posted that, when I posted Madman, Preston's Bird, 35mm, I had a couple responses like, really? I mean, that's going to happen, you know? So the thing is, folks, I don't even care if you can make the screening. Like, if you just want to support it, if you want to buy a ticket, and you can send me a message and be like, hey, I'm just going to buy a ticket to support this. If we get, there's 200 seats in that theater. If we can sell 100 tickets, okay, just half.
Yeah.
We will have free reign to fucking do anything we want there.
Right.
Which we kind of already do a little bit, but well, if there's only 20 people or something that shows up for the Madman, maybe not. They may be like, oh, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't care if there's even 100 people there. If we have 100 people that buy tickets, you know, and the tickets are only $6.
Here's the thing I was wondering about, too. Like, why couldn't they put it up on the marquee? Like, they didn't do that for any of the other screens, but they could easily do that, couldn't they? Like, put the name of the movie up on the marquee, the Midnight, and just have, like, Midnight screening or something? Or Midnight?
Probably could. I could ask the girls to do that.
Hey, get up, I have something like that. Shit. But anyway, that's beside the point. But yeah, think about it. Like,
yeah, even if you can't make it, you can still show your support.
This is something that's really unprecedented around our area in terms of nobody else is doing anything like this whatsoever around where we're at. And we would pretty much be able to show like movies that we loved if these continue to work like indefinitely until the place closes or something happens or something like that. But you could be talking about like down the road like seeing movies that you would never imagine you'd be able to see in 35mm. So, with that being said, we're doing a couple of different things even at this particular show. We got programs now, and you can order programs and things like that.
Actually, we got them on the website now where you have the option. And if somebody wants to get a program and won't be able to get the show, I will promise to get you one. You know, if you get it's like there's two different price structures. There's a $6 ticket. And there's $7 for the ticket and the program.
It's a dollar. The program's a fucking dollar, yeah. Like, surely.
Yeah, but if you want me to mail it to you, it's going to be $7.
Yeah.
Because we need to sell these tickets. So, and the big thing, which I'm guaranteeing this thing is going to sell out, the big screening we have at the end of October is the original John Carpenter Halloween.
Right.
Now, this is, you know, if we never did another screening after this, I'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah, this is the one, I mean, that makes the most sense about doing a screening like this anyway. Like, you do a screening of Halloween around Halloween, like, what else can you really... I mean, there's a lot of stuff we could do, but how do you top that?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, last year we did Halloween 4, and it was pretty much sold out then.
Yeah, you know? I think we had...
And we didn't... The advertising was nowhere near what we're doing now. You know?
I think we had it was almost pretty much the same amount of people for Nightmare 4 and the Halloween 4 as well. Like, it's pretty nearly sold out on both instances, too.
So if we could get a lot of people interested in that, and, you know, Madman, though, we're looking at something that we may be able to do every month or every other month. And do stuff that's not, you know, sometimes it'd be mainstream, sometimes not. You know, we already have a pretty good idea for something for December. So, but we're going to wait to announce that. I mean, that'll be something that that people will probably get a big kick out of that. But we got that coming up, and that's the big thing we're focusing on right now, like promotion-wise. And also, want to let everybody know that... again, we're going to be at the Horror Hound show coming up next weekend, and we'll be there with the Green Dead Pit shirts. A lot of people are asking about them. People have been emailing me, be like, can I order those online? No. The only way to order those is if you see us at a show. And the last one that we sold on. We did sell one on eBay for $55.
Yeah.
And it won't be that price, that whorehound. So that
it'll be $65.
Yeah, it'll be $65.
Yeah.
So, any other announcements you want to make, Uncle Bill?
Nope, that's pretty much all I can think of.
Again, though, the Madman tickets are on sale on the main page of the site. And even if you don't think you can make it, if you want to just show us support and buy some tickets, that'd be great.
Because, like I said, eventually, if this works, it could lead to like tons of other stuff down the road.
I'm going to make a promise to you people, okay? Here's my promise.
Oh, God, he's going to make a promise.
And you people can listen to this, and I'll probably put this clip up on YouTube or somewhere so people can see it. If we can get at least 100 tickets sold for Madman, that's just 100 tickets sold. It doesn't have to be people actually show up, 100 people show up. I will promise before the Strand closes, which I've heard various things. I'm hoping it's later than I think. I will do one more screening that's on my checklist of shit that I want to do because I never got to see this movie in the theater. A lot of us didn't get to see the movie in the theater. The Monster Squad.
Oh, wow.
And I've got the hookup for the 35 on the Monster Squad. That will happen if we get 100 tickets sold.
I'm curious about something, though, as we sit here and talk about these screenings and things. Because, you know, the one movie that enters my mind that I've always wanted to see in theaters, I don't even know if it's possible to get a screen, like, to get a print of a film like that, though.
What?
Well, you know, it would have to be Dawn of the Dead.
The only person that has Dawn of the Dead that, like, actually admits to having it is Richard Rubenstein.
It's that fucking hard to find?
It's not that it's hard to find. It's just the fact that he won't allow screenings to happen. And if he finds out somebody's got a print of it, he threatens them with a lawsuit unless they either destroy the print or send it to him.
God.
The guy is hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, I've never even talked to anybody that's been to a 35 of Dawn of the Dead.
That would be an amazing thing.
They couldn't even do it for a charity. I know Horror Hound wanted to do it for a charity, and he wouldn't let it. He wouldn't even. He only allowed a Blu-ray to be shown.
Fuck charity.
Yeah. So Dawn of the Dead, we could probably do Day of the Dead at some point, but Dawn of the Dead, I doubt it.
Yeah,
there's
any
no
of
way.
The Dead movies would be nice.
Yeah,
actually.
About Fulci Zombie, we could easily do that.
Yeah, that would be good too.
So there's a lot of possibilities, but I put out that if we can get 100 tickets sold for Madman and prove that all these, you know, we can make a successful screening out of a, you know, a cult movie, we're going to have another cult classic before the Strand closes because I can make it happen.
Make that shit happen.
The Monster Squad. It could happen.
It could happen to us. Once in a lifetime.
See, but I think it's cool to do the screenings of stuff that's like, wow, who really? You know, and if we could get enough people to come to these, we can do that.
Well, if you really want to get a screen that's people are like, wow, really, then you should get Love Butcher on 35 millimeter.
God, I bet that would be almost impossible.
People
be
like, what?
What the fuck, Love Butcher?
Just come see it and shut up. Anyway, let's get into these reviews, though. We got two Blu-rays to review.
Yeah, these just recently came out last week, I think. And there's movies that I think that we've reviewed before on the show. Because they've been released multiple times, Anchor Bay. I don't know how long of a contract Anchor Bay has with these Halloween movies, but I mean, I got my first like DVD versions of these in like, God, what was the year? 2000? Was it? Might have been 2000 or 2001. So they've had them for over 10 years, at least.
Yeah.
So anyway, Halloween 4 and Halloween 5. And you want to talk about the Halloween movies? Interestingly enough, there was it was the 10th anniversary of the original Halloween when they released Halloween 4. And this was the, it had been not since 81, so it had been 7 years since there had been a movie with Michael Myers in it.
Right.
Halloween 3, of course, was completely different. You know, mythos, I guess, and the other Halloween movies.
People shit their panties about that. Oh, God. How dare you?
Because, well, honestly, like, okay, the end of Halloween 2, you could kind of, I can kind of see, like, okay, he's just a bad burn victim now, Michael Myers is. But Donald Pleasance was also in that explosion and shit. And he was just a normal guy. And right. He somehow survived, too. So, anyway, the whole story of Halloween 4 is the, this time it's following Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter, you know, which is played by Danielle Harris, Jamie. And she's been recently orphaned because her parents were killed and Jamie Lee Curtis wasn't going to do another Halloween movie. And as I think it's hilarious, too, because some of the stuff I noticed, you always notice shit that you never really paid attention to. And, like, all the photos that Jamie had, and oddly enough, like, I always thought maybe Jamie was named after Jamie Lee Curtis, but I think that was just a weird coincidence. It didn't have anything to do with each other. But anyway, the Jamie Lloyd character had photos of her mom, which was all from, like, the set of the original Halloween movie.
I didn't even really notice that.
Yeah, if you look at the photos, it's just killer. Like, yeah. So that's hilarious. But she's been adopted. She has this new family. You've got Ellie Cornell is her older stepsister, whatever, in this.
Rachel.
And she has visions, of course, of the boogeyman coming to get her. Michael Myers has nightmares and stuff like that. And also in the movie, you have a couple of, EMS people going to pick up, you know, transfer Meyer somewhere, whatever. And he overhears them talking that he's got a family, he's got a niece that's still alive, and that's kind of the force that's driving him. So he awakens from his coma, goes back to Haddonfield to wreak havoc once more.
I gotta kill him. I gotta kill all of
them. I got my goddamn niece.
Yeah. So, honestly, this movie is one of the rare exceptions to movies that go beyond, like, a sequel that actually turned out to be, in my opinion, pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is, and I don't know a whole lot about Dwight Little, the guy that directed it or anything like that, but he's not directed a whole lot of other things that
I
know.
I think he's a little bit of a recluse now.
But he did something really smart in this movie, which was, if you go back and watch this movie, there's not a lot of overt, violent, like, graphically violent stuff in this movie. And it was much more along the lines of, like, Carpenter's way of doing, like, the first film than it was even, like, the second film, or especially, like, the third film with the kid death and stuff like that. And when you go to part five, it's nothing like that either. Like, it's graphic, kind of Friday the 13th style death. But this one was more, like, there's more subtlety to the way that it was done. There wasn't a lot of blood. There wasn't a lot of gore. There wasn't a lot of stuff like that. And I thought that the introduction of the new characters was actually, especially Danielle Harris, was actually really a good addition to the series, too.
Yeah, Danielle Harris is a great little kid actor. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, she did an amazing job. Just a cute little kid, actually grew up to be a fucking cute woman, too.
Have you noticed, though, and this is something that I've noticed a lot lately, that the best child actors, especially from the 80s, it seems like, too.
Right.
Were essentially turn out to be, as adults, midgets. Because, here's what happens, man. Because the best child actors are always older than they look. That's why they're really good child actors. So they're really small for their age.
She's still pretty young. I think she's a couple of years older than us. So that movie came out in 88, so she would have been, like, what, 10 or 11?
Look at Sean Astin, look at Andre Gower, look at Danielle Harris. Like, they're always, like, the reason why they work so well is because they're older than they appear in the movies, and that's why it seems, though, like they're better actors for their age, because they're tiny.
What about Gary Coleman?
Yeah, Gary Coleman's a perfect example.
Webster. I think Gary Coleman was seriously, like, in his 20s by the time Different Strokes was off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was really that old. That's awesome. Like, so, yeah, Halloween 4, like, I don't know. I would say, aside from the first movie, I think it's the best sequel. I mean, well, it is the best sequel.
Yeah, I, like, would definitely agree. I mean, don't think...
Halloween 2 has its moments. I think Halloween 2, though, is, like, Man, it's kind of like the Friday the 13th version of Halloween or something, though. It just feels like it doesn't really have that that thing that Halloween always seems to have, the Halloween movies, and it was just kind of missing that or something.
I agree that part four actually feels like it's more like the first one, like I was saying, like the way that it's made.
Definitely the way
that
it's filmed, yeah.
And I always liked it better than any other sequels, too. It's more of like what they want to do in the tradition of that series, it seems like.
One of my favorite scenes in Halloween 4 also was like the scene where Donald Pleasance hitchhikes with the drunken preacher.
Yeah.
And the lines they give that guy were actually great. Like he was talking about, you can't kill damnation. It doesn't die like a man dies or something like that. And just the way he delivered it was like fucking creepy as hell and fit perfectly in the movie, you know.
Right. It's a good movie, though. Just overall, the acting in it's really good, and it was the only movie I ever thought Ellie Cornell was worth a shit in. Ever.
Really?
It really is.
That's not, aside from House of the Dead 2.
Well, yeah.
Which she was great in that. We called her Nubby in that one, you remember?
Yeah.
She didn't have any legs.
Aside from that.
But the special features on this, what do you think of the Blu-ray first? You watched...
I had heard that several people that were saying, and several review sites that were saying, that this was actually the lesser of the two releases and that the transfer and everything wasn't that good in this movie. But now, in going back and watching it, I actually thought it was a fairly good transfer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was surprised at, because I watched it and I was like, wow, I mean, I've seen a lot of Blu-rays, and this one looks pretty damn good, I thought. I mean, especially some of the night shots and stuff. I really liked it. I mean, I actually thought that both of the Blu-rays kind of had the same video quality.
Right.
But anyway, the special features on this include audio commentary with Ellie Cornell and Danielle Harris, a brand new audio commentary with director Dwight Little and author Justin Beam, and also has a Halloween 4 and 5 discussion panel and a theatrical trailer. So
you should buy that shit Halloween 4. Actually.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend that. I mean, actually, I highly recommend both of these movies, even though the next one, yeah, we'll talk about, oh my God. Like, some of the stuff in the next one is just so, I don't know.
It appears that, with the exception of Friday the 13th Part 5, that the number, like, 5 in a series or 5 in a franchise is generally a horrible fucking movie, like, no matter what it is. And actually, Friday the 13th Part 5, a lot of people would argue that that's a horrible fucking movie, too.
A lot of dumbasses.
But if you look at it, look at Nightmare on Elm Street 5, this movie.
Yeah. Elm Street, what was the Dream Child?
Yeah.
That movie sucked ass.
So, anyway, in this one, which...
Yeah. If we all remember the ending of the fourth movie.
Yeah, okay. The beginning of this movie picks off directly after the end of the fourth movie. And if you don't know the end of the fourth movie, then why the fuck are you listening to this show? Because, like, you have to be... You're in the wrong place.
I guess spoiler alert, because we'll go ahead and mention. I mean,
he's
blown into a mine shaft at the end of part four. And, like, okay, that's it. But the thing is, at the end of part four, it's like they just... You know, they just shoot him, blow him away. They don't really show him going really... I mean, wasn't it in a graveyard or something?
I don't remember precisely, but all I remember is somewhere or another he ends up in a river, like, in this.
Yeah. Well, this movie starts off, he's in a damn river, and they play the fucking Halloween music as he's floating down the fucking...
Which is not a good sign for the rest of the movie, by the way.
No.
So, then Hobo Joe, or whatever his name is, picks him up.
And he does have a parrot.
Yeah, why is he out there? Who knows? Why does he pick him up and like nurse him back to life for a year?
Does he have a parrot?
Who's to say? But he does. He takes him in, nurses him back to health for some ungodly reason, and is rewarded by Michael Myers killing his dumb ass. Like, so.
The thing is, too, in this, at least in the Blu-ray, and I never really noticed it before. Maybe it's just because it's in high def now. You can clearly see Don Shank's face in a couple scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
And this is the first time, which I never noticed it before, man. I mean, maybe it, you can see it on the DVD, but you can clearly see his face in like two or three different scenes.
I don't think you could see it on DVD. I mean, not well, I don't recall.
Yeah, because like when he raises up and it's Halloween, of course, and he's ready to go again. And, you know, out of that old Hill Jack motherfucker, whatever you want to call him. And you can clearly see it's him there. And then there's the one scene where Jamie wants to see his face. You can clearly see him crying and shit. So
also in this, though, for some reason, Daniel Harris has gone mute.
Right.
And not only has she gone mute, but now she has a telepathic link to Michael Myers.
Just all of a sudden, yeah. It just happened.
Why is that? Who the fuck? Who knows?
Yeah, which is weird because it's just like a year after the first movie, and she never had any of that shit in the first movie, so.
So many things that goes went so horribly wrong in this, but the main thing, in my opinion, that's horribly wrong with this movie is Wendy fucking Kaplan.
Yeah,
who is well, there's another thing too, which is a lot of people talk about this as well, is that the main character from the first or from the fourth film, the essentially the protagonist from the fourth film, if you take out Daniel Harris, dies within the first like 5 minutes of this movie.
She really does, yeah.
And then you're left with a mute Daniel Harris, Donald Pleasance, and Wendy fucking Kaplan, who is the most annoying bitch ever. Like, to play...
What's so funny, though, too, is, and I was talking to you about this the other day, and I never really paid much attention. This past time was probably the first time I'd seen Halloween 5 in at least 5 or 6 years, whenever the last time we reviewed the DVD. It's the last time I've seen it. So I noticed and I picked up on a couple of things that I just never really thought of before, never really paid close enough attention. For one thing, the Rachel character, Ellie Cornell's character, is killed off in the first 5 minutes we were talking about, right? But her friends, everybody that's going to that party, right, who's staying at her house, and her sister, Danielle Harris, they never, ever, like, even wonder where the fuck she's at. It's almost like they just killed some random person off that nobody knew in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, nobody, like, she never shows up at the party. She doesn't really have a boyfriend in the beginning of the movie or anything. Danielle Harris seems to give a shit more about Wendy Kaplan than her own sister. She never, like, you know, her and that fucking stuttering motherfucker... That little boy walked fucking 2 miles to get to that little cabin where Tina was having her party, but didn't seem to give one fuck about her sister or wonder where the hell she's at.
Jamie,
I got you a penny because I'm a goofy little fucking kid.
Which, by the way, I'm amazed at you that nobody, that his ass didn't sign this.
Who did sign the Part 4 one, though? It was that little fucking Michael Myers that was in there for 2 seconds in Part 4.
Oh, God, you'll kill him. But anyway, the biggest problem with Part 5, though, and we've said this a million times, is the director of Part 5. It didn't have any fucking clue what he was doing.
There's all kinds of little things there. Like, what the fuck, really? God damn.
More so, too, though, is that this is the introduction of the Thorn bullshit that would go on throughout like Part 5 and 6, which was abandoned basically, like, because it really is like,
well, the thing is it's really not completely abandoned if you watch Part 6 and you realize that Danielle Harris, there's somebody else playing her character,
right?
Which they kind of tried to explain a little bit of that in Part 6, but it would have worked better had Danielle Harris actually been in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
it's one of those things where you just bring in needless characters to start, like, another subplot. Like, when I think about that, I think about Jason Goes to Hell. Like, they brought in...
Man, I gotta say, though, I remember when... I actually saw this in a theater when it came out. And I remember the ending being really fucking... Like, I was like, wow, what in the fuck's gonna happen, you know?
Yeah.
But they never really... I mean, you're right. I mean, even with Part 6. And that was... That ended up being, what, about 6 or 7 years later? So,
I mean, they didn't abandon the idea until after Part 6, but I'm just saying, like, at that point, nobody gave a shit anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they should have probably came out with another one a couple years after that, but I don't think this one did particularly well in the theater. But you know, for what it is, I mean, it's a totally watchable movie. You know, it actually makes it more fun to watch when you're kind of making fun of how fucking retarded it is.
Yeah.
Because there's just shit like, it's just fucking retarded.
It's endlessly entertaining, I mean, for stupid shit to be in it.
Yeah, I mean, and something else that happens at the end of part five, too, that I completely forgot about, is the way they capture Michael Myers. And they put him in jail.
Yeah.
And you've got Donald Pleasance's character dies at the end of part five again.
Yeah, he dies a lot in movies.
I mean, he's beating the fuck out. Michael's got one of those big, like, trap things on him, those nets, where he can't maneuver around it or anything. And Donald Pleasance is just beating the fuck out of him with a board. That's basically what he's doing. And ends up having a heart attack and passing out and dying on Michael. And he's clearly dead, but whatever, he's back again.
He's back in part six, listening to the radio and shit all the time, apparently. Yeah.
I'm not dead.
I'm right here.
I'm just retired.
Hey, oh, Paul Rudd. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. But it's like, part five is probably more comedic relief to me watching it now. I mean, there's stuff in it. I don't think it has any creepy parts in it really at all. There's nothing like, you know, it's all just kind of, I don't know. Dominique Offen and Gerard's not really.
You know, he's got audio commentary on this.
Oh, yeah. He can barely speak English, though.
Like, I would fucking love to hear him explain all this shit in here.
There's only, like, there is one good scene in it. Is the laundry chute thing. Like,
yeah.
The way, that's a pretty good scene, I think. But other than that, I can't really think of any.
So, special features-wise, though, you got audio commentary with Don Shanks, Daniel Harris, and Jeffrey Landham. Audio commentary with director Dominique Offen and Gerard and author Justin Beam. That must be new or something. Halloween 5 on the set. Halloween 5 original promo. There's no making of this movie, although I can't imagine you'd want to know a whole lot about it, really. But picture-wise, quality-wise, though, I think they're both pretty much equal.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that 5 looks better. I mean, I honestly thought they both looked exactly the same.
If 5 is better, it's so, like, minusculely better that you wouldn't even really notice it if you were watching both of them.
For one thing, 5 looks like it had a way bigger budget. I don't know if it did or not. I mean, it looked like they had more money for it, because I know 4 was a pretty decent hit in the theater. But, I mean, maybe that's the case. Maybe they had better, you know, materials to work with or something. I don't know, but I'm glad to finally have both of these movies on Blu-ray, though, because, like, they are two of those movies that I just grew up with, and it was very cool as a kid to have somebody your age going up against, you know. And that's probably why I liked these movies quite a bit when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, look at all the shit that's coming out right now on Blu-ray and stuff. Like, look at all the titles that are just, you just shake your head at. But these are two must-have, like, movies from that time period.
Yeah, it is a shame they didn't have more special features. I know that Anchor Bay originally announced, like, some deleted scenes and stuff that had never been out before. For some reason, they took them out. Like, I don't know what the deal was, if they didn't have the rights for it or what. But, yeah, I mean, maybe we could one day have something with more features and stuff, but I think that these releases, I mean, they're only, what are they, like $20 a piece right now, and they'll probably get cheaper as time goes on.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure they will. Anchor Bay stuff always gets cheaper like that.
Yeah. So, that is it for the show, though, folks. I hope everybody enjoyed it, and Uncle Bill sincerely apologizes for being 2 days late.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
But, I hope everybody has a happy Labor Day coming up. And
goddamn, I'm going to stay in the bed.
Are you? And, you know, and don't forget to check out our screening coming up September 22nd, East Kentucky Fear Fest. Go on the Dead Pit page and just buy, if you fucking buy tickets, goddamn, how much is it going to be? Just fucking buy 4 fucking tickets. It ain't going to cost you much.
Buy, motherfucker.
Yeah, even if you can't come.
It's the screening of champions. Don't you know that?
Yeah.
So. It's where memories are made and promises are delivered, hearts are broken. It's a battleground of cinema.
It is. Well, we're trying to do something special. And we honestly like, because that's a theater that I know you and I both went to see all kinds of shit on growing up.
That's also a theater that is probably not going to exist very much longer. That's going.
I'll say this. I mean, from what I've been told, it's not going to be around, and it's in the current state for very much longer. I mean, the movie industry's changing rapidly, and I don't think any theaters are doing that well right now. So, but who knows? You know what? And I've said this before, who knows what the future will hold? All we have is the present, and the present's a gift, Uncle Bill. So let's unwrap that motherfucker like it's a fucking party.
Let's do that. Oh, but I will say that, everybody keep in mind too, and I don't even know if you remember this far back as well either, but this was like, the idea of doing this was like a pipe dream for a long time. Like,
oh yeah.
It was something that like...
Well, we were talking about it. I think the first time we talked to Keith, who runs The Strand, was when we were filming the shit for End of the Pit in 2007.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there wasn't really an interest there, I don't think.
The thing is, and the thing that, like, I was nervous as shit talking in front of that crowd, but I was sure that I wanted to say something. I was like, there's some people that didn't think this would be a success.
Yeah.
And you guys have clearly proved them wrong. And fuck, I mean... That point on, he was totally for doing these things.
Right.
And why wouldn't he? Because, I mean, they were telling me, I think that last screening, that there was more people there that one night than they had the entire week before.
Right.
So, you know. And not to be bright, I mean, I wouldn't even, as long as it's successful enough where we can keep doing them and keep having a decent enough crowd, I don't give a shit if it's sold out or not, really. I mean,
no, I don't either, but it needs to be consistently kind of successful. I think it will be, too, if we keep promoting
things. Well, one thing that we need to do is paper the fuck out of everything. Like, we definitely have enough material to do that, so.
The interesting thing about this, too, though, is that seeing a movie is one thing that, and especially horror films, even if you are, if you don't have any other interest with us, you know, in terms of our musical taste or our comedy taste or anything like that, horror films seem to be a thing that works with everybody around this area for some reason. Like, it just works with, like, different groups of people. Like, that's one thing people will get out to do.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks everybody for listening. And again, we gladly appreciate anybody if you want to go order your ticket. We will put your name on the list if you can make it. Cool. If you can't make it, that's still showing us support. We still appreciate it.
Thank you for your support.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next week. We probably won't have a show because we're going to be at the Horror Hound in Indianapolis. But I am planning on taking a camera, and we will do an on the road for Horror Hound weekend. That's always fun.
I can't wait, actually.
Yeah. We're going to present Metal Man with his double dong dildo.
His Lifetime Achievement Award for Most Dicks Consumed.
That's right.
Yeah.
We will see you guys in a couple of weeks. And who knows, maybe we could even have an interview by then.
I doubt it. Probably never will happen.
We can hound Sean Clark be like, hey, come on. So anyway, Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
You've been listening to the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated Boulders and Shut Colors and Pioneers of Horror Talk Radio. Deepert.com.